joy to be here tonight. Thank you for all coming on Sunday night. I think I am. I believe I am. Is that right? Y'all hear it, can't you? This is my 38th year of evangelism. And I thank the Lord for that, for the opportunities I've had all over these years and over these miles. I've got to meet a lot of people and got to be around a lot of good churches. The pastor is Willem and his good wife. We've been together for, I think, 100 years, hadn't you? Amen. But we appreciate their friendship. And I got saved in Goldsboro, 1969, when I was in the military. And he was one of the first preachers coming out of Preacher Lee's church. And I remember that, coming down there and preaching. And I got saved. When I got saved, I eat up the things of God. I just soaked it in. And we'd have preachers down there, and we'd go soul winning and go out. And Preacher Lee, there's two things that Preacher Lee liked down there. He loved preaching, and he loved tacos. And he could eat tacos. I believe he could eat them every meal. I mean, he loved those. And another thing, he loved to win souls. Amen. He loved to win people to Christ, and there's a burden in his heart. Girls, come on up here, please. You can take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 8 tonight. It's a familiar text. Matter of fact, if Dr. Lee Robertson has ever signed your Bible, he put this verse in there tonight as he wrote his name there. But when I sat there at Tennessee Temple in 1975 through 1978, Brother Roloff used to come through there, and Brother Roloff would get up there, and I didn't know anything he did. Didn't know who the man was, didn't know anything about anything he did. But I would sit there and I'd cry when the girls would give their testimonies and they would sing and Brother Roloff would preach. And I sat there as a young man. I started school there when I was 27. And I remember being seated there and I'd ask God, "Do you think I can do that?" I didn't know what he did. Isn't that crazy? I said, I didn't know what he did, but I knew one thing, he's helping people. And if you'll help people, your life will be a lot more contented. But when the only person you help is yourself, you're going to be a mess. If you get your mind off yourself and put it in somebody else's life and somebody else's situation, that's why this couple is keeping going. They've taken their life and put it into somebody else's life. And when you do that, you find fulfillment. Now, I'm fortunate that I love what I do. I enjoy getting up, and I go all the time, but that's not a burden. That's not a burden to do things like that. But Brother Roloff had an influence in my life, and in 1988, I got to start going out to the Roloff Ministries with Brother Cameron, and I went out there from 1988 to 2002. A lot of people don't know this, but Brother Cameron, when they resigned, they asked me to come out there and take that ministry. At that time, I didn't feel led to do it. Matter of fact, Carl and I went out there in a view of a call. I've never wanted to pastor, still don't want to pastor. But I felt like that Brother Roloff's ministry is geared something I'd like to have, and traveling and carrying groups with you and all that. And just, if you never had the opportunity to go out there, it was just the presence of God among that place. It was just, God was just there. And I liked the way they ate, too. And I still put, not because of them, but because of my life, I tried to put some of the things that Brother Roloff, not because of him, but just something that God's done with my life over the years. And I like that. And so, but I rejected it. My wife and I both felt like that wasn't the will of God. But 17 miles from my house, we didn't know there was a public school there. I had no idea about it. We had a home in Florida, had 35 girls there. And we wanted to expand to another state. And so we found an old public school 17 miles from my house. And we started two. I had two homes, had one in Florida and one here. Then I had my evangelism. But I found out I wasn't Tarzan. I found out I couldn't do it all. I tell you what you can do, and I did it. Bible says not be weary in well-doing. I wish I could preach on that tonight. It's not what I'm going to preach, but I pushed myself. Now, God wouldn't author that. I did it myself. I had those two ministries, and I doing full-time evangelism. And you got your family, you got everything. And I had an anxiety situation. I wish I could talk about that. it could help you. But I'm not here to talk about that situation. I think in the past I've told y'all about that. And it was one of the best things that ever happened for me. And then that's when I resigned down there in Florida and put all my effort in my evangelism in the home there in North Carolina. And so that's what I've done. I thank the Lord. He taught me a lot of lessons. Sometimes you have to go through things to learn. Some of us are dumb, and we won't listen to our bodies and won't listen to who we are. We just think we've got to be a superhero, but you don't have to be. You have to be who God wants you to be. And you can push and push and push, but it eventually gets you. And so God has helped me, and now we've settled down. And I thank the Lord for the last 13 years we've had Farmer. We've had a lot of good people come through there, and we're just excited about it. If you ever get a chance, go online, www.farmerchristianacademy. You can see the pictures of us. Plus, come up here, Sam, right quick, please. This is one of our graduates from the program and also from the school that we have there. And now Sam's there helping us some. But we believe in structure in a person's life. I know that you folks would do it, but a lot of parents don't put structure in their kids' life. Teach them how to get out of bed. You should not love sleep. And you should not love, some people love to sleep and love to eat. They're good at that. Then they mooch off the government. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
They're sorry workers, but they sure can't eat and sleep. Amen. And watch stupid TV. I'm sorry. And so, you know, that's where we are. And teenagers fall right in that trap. And they, I'm not saying these girls up here, but a lot of them do today. A lot of them don't even know how to bathe. A lot of them don't even know how to dress. It's just unbelievable today how people are. And if you fly on an airplane or if you go places and see people like I see, sometimes it'll break your heart of what you see because of what we've created. 1965 at Lexington Senior High School, where I was a senior, a guy's hair touched the top of his ears, he was expelled. 1965 in the public schools of Lexington, North Carolina, you had to wear dress shoes or some type of, you couldn't wear tennis shoes. You couldn't wear blue jeans. You'd never wear a t-shirt with something written on it. Nobody would ever have an earring, or no guy would dress like a girl and a girl dressed like a guy.
Amen.
Never. That's in the public school, 1965, but it's changed. Now a guy can wear a dress to prom. So the battle out there is a lot different than what we battled years ago. However, the number one battle is people not to get saved. And that's the key to all of it, is getting somebody saved. We put structure in a life, but we can't change a person's life and his heart. Only God can do that, but that's what we do. Sam, tell them about our structure in our school. Would you do that, please, for a typical day, all right?
We get up about 7 o'clock every morning. We have 15 minutes to get dressed, and then we go from 7:15 to 7:30, and we have devotions. And then from 7:30 to 7:45, we go and we straighten up the dorm area. And then from 7:45 to 8 o'clock, we have breakfast. And then from 8 to 12, the girls go to school. And then they break at 12 for lunch, and they go back to school. It's from 12:30 to 1:30 and finish up the school day. And then from 1 to 1:30, we have music. And then from 1:30 to 2, we have music. And then 2 to 3, we have home ec, where we learn to sew, can, and garden. And then from 3 to 4, we have gym. And then 4 to 4:45 is showers. 4:45 to 5:30 is Bible memo, where we learn our scriptures that we quote. And then 5:30 to 6 is supper. 6 to 6:30 is supper chores. 6:30 to 8:45 is homework and free time. And then 8:45 is devotions and 9 o'clock bed.
We keep them pretty busy. I mean, that's 5 days a week. And then on Saturdays, a clean day, a lot of cleaning. They always do it every day, cleaning and straightening and stuff like that. But Saturday is that. Miss Lori, come up here, please. This is a lady that helps me. We have 10, soon to be 12 people helping us, people that work there. And we're real thrilled. Miss Lori, she'll tell you a little story about herself. Miss Lori is a very, very big help. She's in charge of these girls. And her, and there's another girl that went to Jeff Fugit's college. Her name is Angel. But Miss Lori, these girls love her and she loves them. They got a relationship that only God could put together. And sometimes teenagers today, folks, it's hard for them to trust anybody. They have been hurt so bad, lied to so much, taken advantage of in a lot of different ways. It's hard to trust people. And you can get mad if you want to, but that's true. And then they trust Christ. And when they trust Christ, then it's, they learn how to love people. And you just don't know the difficulty in people's life. And there's a lot of people out there just like that. But Miss Lori loves these girls, and they love her. She's strong, and she stands her ground, and they're going to obey, and that's what we need. But she still loves them, and the girls know that. And they obey her. They do good, and I'm proud of them. Go ahead, Lori, please.
Thank the Lord, first of all, for my salvation. I was saved when I was 14, February the 12th, 1978, in a Dr. Monroe Parker revival in the Atlanta, Georgia area where I grew up. I attended People's Baptist Church there for 20 years with Dr. Charles Wright and then later Dr. Dave McCoy. In 1982, I graduated from high school, went off to college, went to Tennessee Temple University. We had a bus director in our church at that time. The Lord led him away as well, and the Lord just put us together, and then we got married. The Lord blessed us with four children, and now I have six grandbabies, and I just thank him for that. After we returned home from college, we began to pray, and in 1995, the Lord put us in a ministry in Brunswick, Georgia. My husband was the assistant pastor, school administrator, and the youth director, and I taught in the Christian school. In 1999, he moved us from there to Withfield, Virginia, and same capacity, teaching the Christian school, and he was the youth director and assistant pastor there. 2011, we went to Pipestem, West Virginia, with Brother Dallas Payton, worked there in his Christian school and in his church. And 22 months ago, on January the 10th, my husband woke up in the middle of the night. He had not been sick, had no problems, but he wasn't feeling well. And so I called the ambulance, and they took him to the first hospital, and he had had an aorta dissection, and they needed to rush him to a large hospital, and so they took him to Roanoke Memorial, and there they did an eight-hour surgery. And he came through the surgery, but 5 days later, on January the 15th of last year, he went home to be with the Lord. And I just thank the Lord that he's faithful. You know, every promise he made, it's true. And, you know, sometimes until we go through darkness and extreme desperation, we see how real God is. Needs I had, we had no insurance for the first time in our married life. And when I called the hospital to take care of a little $26 bill that came, the lady says, "Ma'am, you don't owe us anything." And I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, I do, and I want to owe you hundreds of thousands of dollars." And she put me on hold and came back to the phone, and she said, "Miss Harvey, I want you to listen. You don't owe this hospital a dime."
Amen.
And that's been 22 months ago. And funeral expenses, churches and pastors and individuals sent in over $16,000 for everything and more than took care of it. But God is faithful. He's been good. After my husband passed away, we had always been on the other side of grief. And now I was experiencing something I had never, a place I'd never been. I got married when I was 18, and my husband was the love of my life. And we were together 24/7 because we taught in Christian school. We did everything together. So it's been a struggle, but I just proclaim that God is faithful, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. The devil lies to you. He came to me and he said, "You know, God won't take care of you. You're not a preacher's wife any longer." But he's a liar, because God
That's right.
has more than taken care of me and
That's right.
and met needs. And I began to pray, "Lord, I know you make no mistakes. What would you have me do from here? You know, you follow your husband for 31 years, and now you're having to make these decisions." It wasn't an easy place to be. But I knew that God in his word, I stayed in Psalms, and he said, "If you'd seek me, you'd find me." And I just began to pray. And the school I was at there in Pipestem wanted me to stay. And there was a pastor down in Georgia that had called and wanted me to come work for him. And in April of last year, Brother Clark had called me and asked me if I was interested in working at a girls' home. I had never heard of Farmer, never even thought about this kind of a ministry. I came down and spent a week in the home and fell in love with it. When I left, I didn't have peace about going, but I didn't feel like God had said no. And I went about 6 to 8 weeks through the summer. Every chance I got, I'd go to the home to be with the girls, and I'd leave crying. And I'd argue with God, "God, why can't I go?" But he would not give me the peace. And I ended up leaving Pipestem, and I went to Georgia, and I began teaching in a Christian school. And every opportunity, I'd come back on the weekend. But I look back now, and the Lord gave me peace in November of last year. I've been at the home about a year. But I worked in that Christian school for 3 months and in that ministry of that church. And I look back and I see what God was doing. I needed that time to heal. I needed that time in that church. And God helped me so much during that time to be able to go on. But God, he's been so good, and he's been so
Amen.
Real, more real to me than he's ever been. He said in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "In thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me." And God loves us so much that He wants to show us how much we need him. And I can't live life without the Lord. He is my everything, and I just thank him. And now I want to tell these girls, you know, I don't have the answers, but I know who does.
Right.
I can't help them, but I know who does. And he does way better than I could ever even think about doing. And he'll be with you, and he'll never leave you. And every promise God made is true.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that I suggest to you as parents, you never do your children, never lie to them. Never. Some children, and I know a lot of them, that's mom and daddy promise they're going to do this, they don't do it. You got divorce situations today, and dad says he's going to pick them up, don't come get them. I'm going to send you something, don't send them anything. It's just a world out here that a lot of people's got their head in the sand, and they don't realize how hearts have been broken, hearts have been ripped apart. And if it wasn't for Christ, I don't know what hearts would do. I had a lady, and I may have told you all this, but it took me from 2003 to 2006 to start getting building. It took me to 2009 to get the building where I could operate because I didn't borrow money. But I had a lady call me from Hawaii and wanted me to take their daughter and literally take her. You can have her. We don't want her. She's 15. Said, you can have her, we don't want her, we through with her. And said, you raise her. Now, I didn't have one staff member. I was by myself. I was trying to repair, trying to work, just trying to get it ready. And I've often wondered, where's that little girl? And sometimes it just gets a hold of me because of that. Hardest thing for me to do to say no. I take no government funds. I never try to go to solicit to get some fundraiser to raise money. I don't. That's not what I want to do. So we wait on God, and churches like your good church, you support us. And then sometimes people help us otherwise. Sometimes parents help us. Sometimes they don't. So I can't. I just said this morning, I said the truth. I'd love to have a home in every state. I would. I'd love to have that. It needs to be. But that's up to the Lord. But I want the girls, one of the things we do, we teach them about the scriptures. The public schools, they've done a lot of things that should have never been done. Should have never took prayer out of there. Should have never, should still have a real strict standard code. Or dress them all alike. Our girls, we try to dress them right. Not because to impress you, because the Bible teaches it. And so they should have never got rid of the Bible. It would solve a lot of things like that. So just a lot of things out there, folks, that's pulling our teenagers, pulling them in a different direction. See, when I was a teenager, I played football. If it wasn't for football, I'd have never had friends. And I had many guys tell me that says, I go to church, but nobody ever witnessed to me. From 12 to 22, I didn't go to church for anything. And then people used to say, I'd come to even church. I've had church people say, I remember when you was a teenager, I used to come to see you play ball. I want to say, well, why didn't you come out there and talk to me? Man, I was on my way to hell. Nobody cared. And that's true. Ball players are empty inside, a lot of them. They may be tough and rough and think they're hot stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. Inside, they're empty. And because they don't know Christ as their Savior. And so I just admonish you that you would pray for us. I'm no fool. I'm 68. However, how long God wants me to run, I want to run it well. But, you know, I'm not 38. You see what I'm saying, preacher? We're getting on up here, amen? You're an inspiration to me, amen? But he may go for me. I may go for him. You don't know that. But you know, you can't be foolish. I'd love to. I'd love to have a home for pregnancy girls. I love to see babies adopted, not murdered. And that's what it is. So you don't beat around the bush. Quit fooling around. That's what they do. They kill them. And can you imagine have a bunch of people in America call themselves doctors and selling baby parts? You talk about the judgment of God and a greater damnation. Wow. Wow. And preachers, we can't back up. We got to keep going forward and say what needs to be said in a loving, kind way. And so we need to do that. But it's not fair for a little girl 12 years of age to get pregnant. And then all they think about is, let's destroy the baby. And so it just breaks your heart. It really does. The things that happen around us, it's unreal. But we're going to have the girls quote some scriptures and then sing a couple of songs. Then I'd like to preach in Romans chapter number 8. And thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for working us in. And y'all just keep praying for her. Pray that God will give me wisdom, and pray God that we can expand and get more groups and more teachers and more help. We're trying to get a bigger bus also. And so pray for that. We want a 24 passenger. We got a 15 passenger. We got a van out there, but we have to take two vehicles. And so I want to get the number on up there, so I'd like to have another bigger vehicle. So you pray for us that God will supply that, would you? Girls, you ready? Y'all want to work for food? Huh? Don't look at me like that. Y'all like to eat. I can tell. Amen. We'll work for food. All right. I got my sign up. All right. Okay. Come on, girls. Work for food. All right.
Romans 6, 1 through 15. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Amen.
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism Amen. Into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For
Amen.
He that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but
Amen,
under grace?
Girls.
God forbid. Amen.
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 Very good.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Never be ashamed with all that is Jesus is to me my everything, and I bless the day he came. When he gave me drink from the fountain sweet that I'll never thirst again. Now through the Spirit of the Son to the Father I can say, for your saving blood and for all you've done, bless your holy and sweet name.
Amen, girl.
Oh, bless the Lord, yes, bless the Lord, well, bless his holy name. Let me not forget all his benefits or the blessings that he brings. Lifting up my hands to the great I am, let me never be ashamed. With all that is within me now, oh, bless his holy name. Someday I'll move beyond the blue where a better home awaits. There to lay aside for a crown of life all my sorrow, death, and pain. To see my loved ones and to know I have left this world behind. I will lift my hands and I'll praise his name while I'm shouting through the sky. Oh, bless the Lord, yes, bless the Lord, well, bless his holy name. Let me not forget all his benefits or the blessings that he brings. Lifting up my hands to the great I am, let me never be ashamed. With all that is within me now, oh, bless his holy name.
Amen. Come with Peter off. Natalie's from Russia. She was born in Russia. I'll let her testify to you. She, first 3 years of her life, she was there in Russia, and then somebody adopted her here in the States. Everybody's got a story. Some people's life is rough. Please, I beg you, never complain. We don't complain around our farmer. I'm not a complaining person. No matter what happens, we don't complain. But Natalie, we love her. We're proud of her. She keeps going. One day she's going to graduate from Farmer. I think God's got plans for her life. Sometimes the things that happen in your life, you wonder if even there's a God. You know? And sometimes you wonder if there's a God that loves me. But Natalie, God is really working in her heart, and we're proud of her. And you'll be 18 when?
September 5th.
September the 5th. She knows it exactly, doesn't she? Yeah, I know when I'll be 18. Then I can whip her. I say amen right there. Now, come up here and give you testimony, okay?
At the age of 16, my birth mom was kicked out of the orphanage, and she became a prostitute, and that's what happens. You either become a prostitute or a drug dealer. And at the age of 17, she had me, and 7 months later she left, and I was placed in the orphanage. And it wasn't the best orphanage in Russia and everything, but at the age of 3, God rescued me from that place and put me in a family. And I always, even though I was rescued from that, I always wondered who was my family, who loved me, does anybody care for me, anything. But on September 16, 2013, God rescued me from eternal hell, and I just want to thank him for that, because today I know who I have with me, and he's always there for me, and I'm nothing, but he rescued me out of that place. And I'm 17, and I could be exactly where my birth mom is, but he rescued me from that. I just want to thank him for it, and he's been so good to me.
Come here, Natalie. Natalie says in Russia, when you get 16, these are children that didn't have like parents. They go to this orphanage, and at 16, they open the door and put you out with nothing. So don't ever let news and the guy over there is a leader. I don't respect him at all. He doesn't treat people right. Now they want to act like they don't. Aren't you proud that God, through his direction in life, he let Natalie come to Farmer?
Amen.
And y'all been part of it. See, that's the beauty of it. Everybody working together to see a purpose. And She told me some stuff, and she told me one thing that I tell a lot of people because I want you to see it. She told me that they come in there and they put all the food on the table, and here she is 3 years of age or 2 years of age, and you have to fight to get your food. So a little kid like that, they probably don't get first choice. Now today we were down there with Brother Clark, a good friend of mine. They had a spread out there. We ate all we could eat. They gave us a bunch to bring with us. I'm telling you, just unwrap the food. But she had to fight for hers. Aren't you glad that God, through his direction and providence, that he let her come to be with us? Amen. Thank you, Natalie. Come here, Whitney. We're proud of Whitney, too. And she's been a good influence to her mom. And I don't think Whitley and my mom is in this, but when she came, they were apart. Oh, you live in the same house, but you're not living. You're fussing and griping and being a little, if I can say this in the right way, I'm not saying about her, but you can be a brat and give mom and daddy a hard time and a rough time. And think you're at 15 to 16, you need to be getting your way and get you a cell phone and do anything you want to with it and court guys and all this kind of stuff. It's just unreal. And I'm not saying this was in her life, but Whitney, tell a little bit about your life or whatever, okay, about your dad. Yes, sir. Okay.
First off, I want to thank the Lord for saving me on September 24th. That was just the best day of my life. Before I was at Farmer, when I was a little girl, my dad had walked out of mine and my sister's life and just chose his lifestyle over us. And today he is incarcerated and he's going to be in there for a long time. And I just blame my family for it. And I just say they're the reason that, I was like, your reason daddy's locked up. It's all your fault. And I just blame my mom for it. And I just got really mad at her. So we just quit talking. Like you said, we argued all the time and it was never stopped. There just wasn't peace in that household. And I just really felt an emptiness in my life, so I just turned to drugs, and I thought that was going to help me. But really, it didn't. It just made me worse. And this relationship with my mom and my sisters, that just got even worse. But I want to thank the Lord for putting me here at Farmer. Since then, I got saved, and I just got right with my family. I just want to thank him.
Amen. It'll be a long time before she can be with her daddy. Sin's never pretty. It never winds up pretty. Never does. Never will sin ever wind up right. It can't. And boy, you can mess up your life, mess up your friends, mess up people around you. Girls, let's do the Bible poem. I love to you hear this Bible poem. And because the authority that we have and the direction we can carry people is through the Word of God. And I love it now more than I've ever loved it in my life. I know how dear it is to me now. It's authoritative. I can stand on principles because God said I could. And so if you get a hold of the Bible and stand on that, then you got it. And I know Christ can change any heart. No matter how hard they are, how rough they are, how stiff they are, how mean they are, God through his word, and that's what the key is, to touch that heart and insect there. Girls, let's do that poem, okay? Yes. All right, come on up here and we'll do that and then I'll say something.
The King James Bible poem.
The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy.
That's right.
It contains light to direct you,
that's
food
right,
to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell closed. Christ is the grand subject, our good design, and the glory of God is in. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet.
Amen.
Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully.
That's good, girl.
It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be open at the judgment, and be remembered forever. And involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who try for the sacred contents. Amen.
Very good, girls. Amen. Thank you, girls. Would y'all pray for us? Would you? If you'd ever like to come up and visit us, we love to show what God has done there. We'd love to show you the property and see where the girls go to school and where they sleep and eat and all that stuff. And got a big ball field out there. We got everything. We got it right at 18 acres. It's a tremendous place, and I'm indebted to the Lord because he opened that door and he let us have it. And so we're trying to, if you know anybody of a girl, 12 to 17, we do not enroll boys. That's not our goal there, just girls of that age bracket's what we're trying to do. We do get them a little younger, but we try to do that. But I thank you, preacher. Thank you, church, for helping us. And would you pray for us? Pray to God to give me wisdom and power and know what to do. We have a good relationship with the people around us in the community we're in, and they love us. We got a man across the street, show you how God has worked out so many things, and the girls know this. We got a man that bought a cow. We're out in the country. He went and bought a cow, a Jersey cow, and he provides our milk to the girls. Amen. And he provides our eggs, other free range like that, eggs. And he makes butter. And he stood there one day telling me about it and got to crying. He got to crying over those girls. And God's given him something that he can do to help the girls. Amen. He's not a plumber. He's a sawmill guy. He and his wife are so sweet. I mean, you just have to meet him, but that's what he can do to help there. We have people that bring us food. It's unreal. People just bring us food there, and we thank the Lord for it. How people provide so many things for us, and we're just so indebted, so grateful. I have no choice. I tell people this, and this is true. I have no choice but to serve the Lord. God has been so good to a little country boy who had absolutely hardly nothing but a mom and dad and three brothers. Two-room house is where I grew up. So I was 12 years of age. It's hard to believe. Me and my brothers slept in the same bed. We never had our own bed. Never. I can remember Mama taking a half a gallon jar with hot water, put it at the foot of our bed so we could stay warm. Had an outhouse. Now, that's sort of foreign right now to the people who don't even know what that is. But I had it. I'm glad I did. Because I appreciate everything God gives me and everything he does for me. You children in here, you ought to be grateful. You got your own room. How would you like to sleep like that and like that? Two down here and two here. Thank the Lord they washed their feet. Say amen right there. But see, when you're like that, you never realize you're like that.
Right.
You just don't know the difference. That's life. My first real toy, the way I learned to ride a bicycle, it was on rims. Didn't have a tire on it. Now it had the rim. And those pedals didn't have the rubber on it, just had the pedal. And that's how I learned to ride a bicycle. And by the way, by March, I went barefooted. By March to going to school, I went barefooted. I really did. And didn't know that I was supposed to have something else. But back then, you could get a Baby Ruth candy bar that big. That big around for a nickel. I used to walk a mile to get a 5-cent Baby Ruth. Because I had to get Mama goody headache powders. Y'all remember those? Yeah, Zeros, that was okay. But them Baby Ruths was tough, man. I ate too many of them. I got sugar now. But anyway, I remember that. Yeah, man. Now you pay for a dollar for all that kind of stuff. It's just about. So we all ought to be grateful, and we ought to say, God, thank you.
That's right.
Because he's been so good to us. And thank the Lord for that.